Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. We are gathered once again in our Father's house, and as we do, how stressed are you? Well, if you don't have children anymore, you have an advantage. I mean, there's that. But, you know, it's kind of funny how, by the time we get here first thing in the morning, we can be already a little bit stressed out and concerned about so many things out in the world. But the thing is, what I want you to do right now is I want you to just stop and think about all the things that are stressing you out right now and thank God for them. Because most likely all the things that are stressing out are actually blessings that God has given us that we are now letting stress us out, right? Like those children, you know, that pesky car that the heater doesn't work all of a sudden on a cold day. You know, all those kinds of things, they're blessings. They really are. But we allow them to stress us out. And what I want to do is I want to turn our attention now away from all those things to the God of those blessings, the one who provided us every good thing and continues to do so. And as we gather in his place and in his name, let us remember the day that he provided us the greatest thing ever, our salvation through the faith that we received in our baptism. Let us begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence today and we thank you that you have welcomed us here, that you have made it possible for us to be here, that you have made us your children, that you have made us holy because of the blood that your Son has shed for us on the cross, the life he gave, the life he gives us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord, this morning. Send your Spirit to work in our hearts and our minds so that we can hear this word and inwardly digest it and put it into practice in our lives so that we can bring glory to you as an act of praise and worship for all that you have done for us. Thank you, Jesus, for all of these things. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us confess our sins. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. And upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's return praise to the God who's forgiven us. Thank you.
blood of Jesus Christ. Recovers me and raises dead men's heart. And it's all because of Jesus. Every sunrise sings your praise. The universe cries out your name. It's all because the blood of Jesus Christ. It covers me and raises and bends my heart. And it's all because of Jesus. And it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. And it's all because the blood of Jesus Christ. So
Good morning. My name is Lars, Lars Vallon. I'm one of the elders here, and it's my pleasure to read the scriptures for you this morning. We're reading 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seeds and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lars. And the sermon scripture reading for today is Luke chapter 6, verses 24 to 26 and 37 to 38. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. All right, kids, it is now time for the children's message. Kathy Frazier has the children's message for us today.
Good morning. All right. Good morning. How are you guys today? Good. Good, good. You guys can sit closer. I have something I'm going to give you in a little bit, but only if you're close enough. Okay, I have a question for you. Has anybody heard of the word greedy? What does it mean to be greedy?
You really want something.
You really want something.
Or someone else's.
Maybe somebody else's something.
Or it's really expensive and you can't really afford it, but you keep begging your parents to get it.
Yes, you might be begging, it might be really expensive. Is it something you really need?
No.
No, no. So probably things more like toys, stuff like that, right? Now, what does it mean to be generous?
To give something.
To give things, right? And to be generous, do you give just anything? Or maybe things that you kind of like, right? So if you're going to be generous, well, first of all, let me read a Bible verse that we just read. It's from 2 Corinthians. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God's love is a cheerful giver. I want to read that part again. For God loves a cheerful giver. What does cheerful mean?
Happy.
Happy, right? With a smile. Okay. Now, God calls his family to be generous because God sent Jesus to us. Jesus gave his life for us, and that is the most generous thing you can do. Now, Jesus shows us how to give. So when we're generous and give to other people, we show Jesus that we love him. There's lots of ways to be generous. Can you guys think of some? How can you be generous? No ideas? Maybe giving some things up. Okay, well, I have a bag here. No peeking, no peeking. I have a shirt, a t-shirt. It's actually my husband's t-shirt. I think I'm going to give it to somebody that might need some clothes. You think that's okay?
Why is it mine?
It's not yours. It's Daddy's. You think that's okay? Now, is that me being cheerful? It's somebody else's. It's in my family. But somebody else's, it doesn't mean much to me if I give this away, right? Now, I also have a dress. It's a really pretty dress. But unfortunately, it doesn't fit me anymore. But I really love it. And I don't want to give it away. But I don't think I'm ever going to fit in this dress again. So I'll give it away because I think somebody else could wear this really pretty dress. And that'll be okay because I can't wear it. Now, am I starting to get more cheerful? Okay. Now, this might be hard for this one. I've got a toy. Now, she's too big for this toy, right? Is this a baby toy? Yeah. But it's still fun to play with. It makes some noise. But she's too big for it. So is this something I could give away?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Can we give it away with a smile so another kid can play with it? Good. That's a good sport. Now, what about a book? Do you like books? You love books. Yeah. Now, this one's a really pretty one. Do you see that?
Wait, that's mine.
I know. And it's really sparkly. And it's really fun to play with. Now, do you think other kids would like to play with this?
Yeah.
And read this book? Do you think it would make other kids smile? Mm-hmm. Is this a little bit harder to give away?
Yeah,
because can you tell how much she likes this one? Yeah. I'm not really going to give this one away right now. But I could give that book away. Maybe when we're ready and we're ready to be cheerful and God puts it on our hearts to give it away, we can give it and bless somebody else with it. I also have some other things. What's this?
Food.
Food. Well, it's actually from my pantry. But I could give it to the food pantry, right? And we could buy some extra food when we go to the grocery store so that other people can be blessed. Would that be generous to buy some extra things for others?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's generous. And I can be happy about that, right? I have another thing. Are you ready? What's something else we can be generous with? You guys hear that? What does that sound like?
Money.
Money, right? I have some coins here. Now, one other way that we can be generous is by giving money or buying things for other people. Is there a time at church that we give money?
No.
Do you know what that's called?
Offering.
The offering, right? The plate comes by and some people put their money in it. Now, if I gave you one of these coins, what would you do with it?
An offering.
Would you want to keep it?
Yeah.
I love shiny coins, right? What's the generous thing to do?
Put it in the
offering plate. Would that be easy to do or hard to do?
Hard.
It might be kind of hard because I could put it in my pocket and take it home and put it in my piggy bank.
No, my piggy bank.
Or her piggy bank. Now, I thought I would try this with you guys. Do you guys want to take a coin and put it in the offering plate? Hold on. Ready? Hold out your hands. I don't know what kind of coin I'm giving you, okay? Whoops. There you go. Do you girls want one? One for you. Would you like one too? Okay, we'll put the bag in. How about that? Do you want more than just a penny?
Yeah.
I'll go a quarter. I'll switch. Or do you want both? Okay. You're going to put it in the offering, right? No matter how much it is, we can put it in the offering. Some of you I gave a penny, some I gave a quarter. Now, can you guys put that in the offering plate with a cheerful heart, with a smile? Okay. I have something else, one more thing. This is the hardest thing for me, though. There's one thing I really, 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 really like. Any guesses? It's a treat. It's chocolate. We love chocolate.
I love chocolate too.
But I thought it would be really fun to be generous to you guys and give you a piece. What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No, we're gonna have chocolate.
Now, one more thing with this. Can you be generous too?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. If I give you two pieces of chocolate, you can have one for yourself. Because God always gives you something for yourself that you can keep. But God also blesses us abundantly so that we can share with others. So what do you think you could do with that second piece of chocolate?
To our friend.
Give it to a sister or a friend.
Or a mom and dad.
A mom or dad. Do I see some moms and dads that are like, yeah, I'd love some chocolate. It'd be great. Okay. I will give you two pieces. Actually, I'm going to give you two pieces after we pray. How about that? Because I don't want these to melt too much. I see these warm hands. Well, we can be generous in lots of different ways. And Jesus wants us to be generous. Because when we're generous, it shows Jesus how much we love him. And when we give to others, we show that we want to be like Jesus. So let's pray. Repeat after me.
Dear God,
thank you
for all the gifts
you've given us.
Please help me
to be generous
and give
with a cheerful heart.
I love you.
Amen. All right, take your two pieces and give one to someone else. And you can keep the other, okay? Oh no, I'm running out. I hope I have enough for myself. Wait a second, I need to be cheerful about this. It is okay. Thanks for reminding me. There you go. Oh my goodness, look at that. No more for me.
It's okay, Molly. We have some more at home.
You think so?
You can have them.
Thank you so much, but you can give it to someone else. I do have more at home. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you so much, Kathy. And let's see, we have little worship. For everybody, 4-year-old through 4th grade can meet at the cross in the center aisle. And you guys will have a message for you, and the rest of us are going to be right in here, and we're going to have a message for us today. Now, I don't know if you guys are all aware of this, but in the back of the bulletin, we have this tithes and offerings thing. Have you guys seen this? Yeah. And there's something here that kind of bothers me, and I'm going to explain why, because it might not be for the reason you think. Right now, it says year to date that we're a little more than $70,000 under budget for tithes and offerings. Okay. Which is kind of funny because we went through COVID where we were like not here and we were, you know, limited worship and we were going through all these really difficult times. And during all of that, the offering really didn't dip. It was an amazingly stable thing. And lately it has. And I also noticed that the economy is not doing so good, right? And I'm not upset with this because I'm worried. Just so you know, I mean, I know my God, he's bigger than this problem. This isn't anything really big for him. I'm actually concerned about this because like a doctor, you know, he sees a symptom And he says, okay, now we need to look into this a little bit more and find out what's going on. And I see this as a symptom, and I'm kind of concerned with what's going on. And let me explain what I mean by that. The thing is this. We act on the basis of what we believe and what we're looking at. I mean, we just do. It's how we function in life, right? I mean, if you're not aware of a need, there's almost no chance you're going to give toward the need, right? If you're very aware of a huge problem, that problem is going to start taking, really take a lot of your attention. And what I want to do is I want to lay this out how I see it. And again, I'm not trying to say what is wrong. I'm just trying to say what I'm concerned is wrong. And then you guys get to take it from there, you know? And so it works like this. We have a God who provides. We have a God who has given us so many things. We have a God who, I love this. You know, I was reading through Genesis, because Jake. I was reading through Genesis, and it was the funniest thing. I got to like the third or fourth day of creation, and it says that God made the moon and the sun, and then it had these like five little words, and he also made the stars, which that's like a nice footnote, right? Any idea how many stars are out there? I mean, you know, we have our sun, right? And that's a star that we kind of understand and know. And it's a little one. It's a yellow dwarf. You know, it's a little star. But there are a few other stars out there. In our own Milky Way galaxy, there's about 100 million. I mean, obviously, nobody sat there and counted them. Hence the about 100 million, right? And now we're getting farther and farther and looking into space using the Hubble Space Telescope. And now what's the new one called again? I don't know, whatever the new one is that can see even farther and better, and it's just amazing. And they're guessing that there is somewhere in the region of 2 trillion galaxies. 2 trillion. Now, this is all guesswork because things are really far away in space, and we're just making the best guess that we can on the basis of what we can see. But 2 trillion is a few. You know what I'm saying? And if each of them has about the same number of stars as the Milky Way, which I'm sure some have more and some have less, you know, but who knows how many they have, that means that there's about 1 septillion stars. That's 1 followed by 24 zeros. That's a few. You know what I'm saying? So here's the thing. Did God have to make that many stars? I mean, is that really essential for our lives? I mean, in our, you know, if you go outside at night, if you have really, really excellent vision, and if there's like no light around you so you can see everything, and it's a perfectly clear night, you will be able to see someplace in the neighborhood of 4,500 stars. 4,500. That's all you can see. He made 1 septillion stars. Does God do things a little big? A little over the top? I mean, it's just insane. Yeah, you look at the rest of his creation, and I love this. It's like, do you realize that anyone here like flowers? Do you know there's 400,000 flowering plants that God created that we know of? That's crazy. And here's the thing. This is what I love about it, is that there's 350 different kinds of roses, which sounds like a lot until you realize that there's 28,000 different kinds of orchids. Is God a little over the top? Is he just nuts when he creates? He just creates so much. And how about this? There's 3 to 30 million. I love it because we have no idea is what that means. 3 to 30 is a large range, right? 3 to 30 million different species of animals on Earth. That's a lot. We have a God who is capable of incredible things, and he does incredible things, right? I mean, you get into this and you like look at all the stuff that God has created, all the stuff that he has made, all the ways that he has provided for us, and a beautiful summary of all the things that God has made and provided for us is in the meaning of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I know you guys know it somewhat because we say it like once a month, right? And it's this: I believe that God has made me, did he make you? And all my members, all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. Is that a lot? That's basically everything to do with you he made and takes care of. That's a lot. I mean, when you start looking at how complex our bodies are and how amazing they are, that they can heal themselves. You know, and guys, we're good at needing healing, you know. God is amazing. And then he also doesn't just give us our bodies. He gives us everything we need for our bodies. He gives us clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He also gives you your car. That's not listed here because they didn't have cars then, but I thought it was an important thing to note as a car guy. Anyway, he also provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. Is that a few things? That's just the first article. You ready for the second article? I believe in Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. Is that a lot? And we have the Holy Spirit. We're not even done yet. Because I don't believe that I can, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctifies and keeps me in the true faith. In other words, the Spirit even comes to give us the faith necessary to receive the gift that Jesus earned for us and to even appreciate all the things that the Father has done for us. So has God done a bit? I mean, it's kind of insane. It's opulent, it's overwhelming, the gifts that we receive from God. And so what I want on one side of us is I want the image of the God who is so ridiculously overly generous, right? I mean, anybody here complain about the cold this morning yet? I sure did. Yeah, especially when the blower in my van didn't come on this morning. I was like, great, there's heat someplace in the dashboard, but it's not getting to me. And so, I mean, yeah, and then you can complain and whine so quickly, but the thing is this, isn't it an incredible world that God has made for us? I mean, how many times have you been to the mountains and you just can't believe the beauty of the landscape? You go to the ocean, as long as it's not Florida right now, where they have rotting seaweed on the ocean. That's not the image I'm looking for. But the idea that God has created this incredibly gorgeous planet for us to live in, the gifts are insane, right? So there's that we can look at. But there is something else, because here's the thing. There's what we call the real world over here. You got that? And in this real world, you have a finite number of hours in the day and a finite amount of dollars in the bank account, right? And then you have your bills. And just in case you know, I want you to have all your bills fresh in your mind. Here we go. This is like just one of those little forms you can get for making a budget. You have, let's see here now. You have your mortgage or rent. You have your utilities, and that's a whole bunch of different things. Home telephone. Okay, it's an old list. Let's see here. Cellular telephone. You have your home repairs or improvements, which can you always budget those? Don't you wish you could? No, you can't. Then you also have your cable and internet, and you've got your groceries, and, you know, if you want to go out to eat at all, and then there's, like, all your hobbies, and then there's, you know, subscriptions, and then there's vacations, and then there's movies and entertainment that you want to do in your life, and then there's your car. You got your car loan or lease or whatever it is you got, or repairs if it's paid for. You have the fuel, because that's fun to pay for, right? Nothing like pulling up to a gas station and dumping $50-$70 at one stop. And no, I don't have a pickup truck, so I don't even know what you guys are paying. Let's see here now. We got the insurance. You got the repairs. There's another page. You got the taking care of the car, washing it and keeping it up, what else is there? That's a quick list. And then of course you have all the surprises of life, right? The things that you don't know about. And so you have that. And then you also have that, you have all those things that you need to do with your money, and it's kind of a lot. And you have this one number that you have to spend, and it's got to go all this way. And God says, yeah, I give you everything you need, but the need thing, that gets tricky, doesn't it? Because when I'm fixing cars and stuff, I need a new tool. You know what I'm saying? Now, have I ever had that tool before? But I need it now, right? And I could borrow it, but that takes time, and I'd rather just have it anyway, right? So now, wait, what did I just do? Is it a need? Or is it just something that I want? And isn't that the hardest thing to get sometimes, is like the needs and the wants? And pretty soon this list of needs has things that are needs, you know? Not really needs, but we kind of count them as needs. And pretty soon things get tense and stressful because you're trying to do all these things with a finite amount of money. And the thing is that if your eyes are on this, are you going to be living a happy, carefree life of praise and worship of God? Or are you going to be living an anxious life? A life where we're concerned all the time and worried about having enough? And is that the life that God has called us into? You know, a life of fear, a life of fear of running out, a life of not having enough, a life of anxiety, a life of stress. You see this? And that's assuming that the paycheck is solid, right? That's assuming that this job that you have does not go away. Well, could that happen? And that's also assuming that all these bills stay somewhat static in their size, right? Because if all of a sudden all the prices go up, what happens? What's happening right now, right? All of a sudden the dollars don't go so far anymore, and we're a little more stressed because now it's like all these things that we've convinced ourselves we need are going to be that much harder to attain with the amount of money that God has given us to start with. And here we sit in stress and anxiety and worry. And here's the question I have for you today. Which one are you going to look at? Which is your focus? Where do you live your life looking? Do you look to the God who is so lavishly generous and unbelievable at providing for his people? Or do we look at the real world and all the things that we can't even control anyway? Because here's the thing, if we're living in this world, how easy is it to be a cheerful giver? Is it even possible? I mean, the very best giver in this world is a responsible, stressed out, reluctant giver, right? Because, I mean, the thing is that I'm already stressed out. There are already too many places to put the dollars that I have. And now all of a sudden, God's holding his hand out, wanting me to do even more. And where's all the focus and attention on? Me. I've got to make it enough. And is that the world and life that God has called us into? What God has called us into is this, that we would acknowledge God as the one who cares for us. Because in the end, is there anything that you can do to really truly provide for yourself? I mean, the physical abilities that God has given us, you know, what God made, first article, right? What God made when he made you, he gave you your health and your ability to work and your ability to think and all of those things. And the question is, can you hold on to those things? Are you in control of that? Or could you all of a sudden lose the ability to work? lose the ability to think, lose the ability to do. And if you did, what would you trust in? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, we think in the terms of like, well, if I work hard, I'll get ahead. Assuming you can work. But that's not a given in this world. So how on earth do we get out of bed in the morning if we know we can't control anything? Well, we look to God. We look to the God who provides all good things to his people. We look to the God who loves us. We look to the God who provides for us. We look to the God who has been providing for you since you were born. We look at the God that has given you every gift that you enjoy today. We look at the God who gave you parents that taught you to work. We look at the God who gave you the skills and abilities that you can apply toward work. We look at the God who gives you your spouse and gives you your children, those incredible blessings that give you a reason to work. You know, we look at God and we look at him and the incredible blessing he has given us, and the God who, that when we had no ability to save ourselves, when we were lost in our sin, when not just lost in our sin and heading for hell, but also without any purpose in our life, without any reason to live, he came and gave us salvation. And then he welcomed us into his plan of salvation by making us witnesses of what he has done. That we go out into the world and proclaim his gospel. He gives us a purpose in our life. And he tells us that this new life that I have given you, I want you to live it for me. I want you to live out my values. I mean, and he's really clear about it, right? Matthew 25, when the sheep and the goats, and he says, you know, if you see somebody who's hungry, feed them. Thirsty, give them something to drink. Sick or in prison, visit them. Without a house, give them some place to live. Without clothes, give them something to wear. You know, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out and do these things, and here is your purpose. All right, so how does it affect all this stuff then? If we're looking to God, does that mean I don't have anything to worry about in my financial life? No, but does it affect all that? Well, yeah, because here's the thing. In the old way of thinking, I have the amount of money that I have earned and work with, right? And then I have all the things that I want to do, right? It's very me-focused. You know what God's plan for this whole thing is? God's plan is that we would work hard with our hands so that we have extra surplus to share with those who are in need. That his plan for our resources, for our money, because our life belongs to him, because it's not just about me, it's not that I live out my life in worship of him, that I love him, that it's all about him and his plan and his mercy and his direction and his guidance, and what does God want me to do with my life? And the answer is this. One of the things is he wants me to work hard and to get extra so that I can give it away. So that, back to Matthew 25, when we give the money away, who does Jesus say you're giving it to? Him. And this is what I want you to see, because here's the alternative, is that otherwise we go back to the text for today, which is harsh and, you know, rough, but it's because it's not what God wants. If we stick with all this, he says, "Woe to you, are rich." All the people who are hanging on to their money for dear life because they are terribly afraid that they're not going to have enough by tomorrow, you know? Well, what happens if something goes wrong? Well, what happens? Well, who's going to take care of me? Otherwise, I've got to take care of myself. That kind of thinking. Woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. That's comfort. Not so much, but it's as good as you're going to get. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how the ancestors treated the false prophets. kind of works like this. Whenever we turn our back on the God who gives us everything, the God who is lavishly generous, and instead focus on something else to try to give us comfort, which it won't do, it'll only cause you more pain, we turn our back on God, and we try to make this other thing our God. We try to look for our ultimate comfort from that thing. And that's idolatry. That's worshiping another God. And take a perusal through the Old Testament and see what God thinks of this. He doesn't like it at all. And what happens is that if we insist on choosing a different God over and over again, just like Pharaoh, when Pharaoh said, you know, I'll let me, you can't go. And all right, he allowed the people to go, and then it said Pharaoh hardened his heart, and then it said Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then there was this little nuance change in there, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart, which means God said, okay, I get it. You're not going to listen to me. And that can happen to us. If we insist on choosing something else as our God over and over and over, eventually God can confirm us in that. And that's not good. So be careful. Don't make light of sin. Sin is toxic. Sin hurts us. Sin destroys our faith. So what I want us to have the relationship with the Father, relationship with the God who provides all good things, that we would look to him, that we would use the gifts that he has given us responsibly with the goal of having extra so that we can give it to the people who are in need and give it. And that's one of the beautiful things of having church. Am I insisting that you need to give all of your money to church? All the money that goes to God has to go through church? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. If you have a neighbor who is in need, you can directly help them. That's a beautiful thing. Right? But that you would be thoughtfully, not spontaneously, but thoughtfully choosing what it is you want to give to God. And yes, this applies to a whole bunch of things. This applies to time, this applies to money, which theoretically in the end becomes the same thing, right? But the thing is that I want us to be cheerful givers. And the way we are cheerful givers is when our minds are on God, when we see his work in the world, when we understand that he's welcoming us into the plan of salvation, and that we get to work with him in doing it, and that this is this stuff that he has given us is an opportunity to take part in that, and that we can put things, put our energy, put our money, put our time, put everything that we have, all that we have, because we are living a life of worship to the God who has saved us. That's what we want. And so you see how this works. The cheerful giver is the one who is involved in the mission and loves the plan and is excited to be a part of it. The uncheerful giver is the one who is looking at the world and the stress and the struggles and the shortages. Which one has peace? The one who's focused on God. And does God promise to come through for us? The text, right? Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. Is that enough? That's pretty crazy, isn't it? And the thing is that it's so sad that we get so stressed out that we're afraid we're not going to have enough when we can live according to his will, live responsibly, give, and trust him, because he's the only one in control anyway. He's the only one that has, never runs out. He's not subject to an economy. He's not subject to an interest rate. He's not subject to any of that stuff. He's just the God that gives. So, can we pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you have made us your children, brought us into your family. Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us, Lord. Help us as we assess our lives this Lenten season, Lord, as we assess our hearts, assess our values, assess what decisions we've made and what decisions we want to change. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless us. Help us, Lord. Send your Spirit to work in our hearts and our minds. Thank you for the salvation that you have earned for us, the righteousness that we have received from you. And help us, Lord, to praise you for every good thing you have given us, Lord, with all of our lives. All this we pray in your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, it is now time to continue our worship this morning. We continue it with an offering. But here's the thing. I don't want the offering to be a spontaneous, impulsive decision built on guilt. That's not what God is asking for. If there's a change in your giving, I would prefer it to be next week after you've prayerfully considered what it is God wants you to do and how he wants you to give. Do you understand me? This is a thing that we do from love of him, not a thing we do because there's a need in the church, not a thing we do because we're feeling guilty or we're, you know, whatever. It's all about our worship of him, all right? Please stand as we confess the faith that our God has revealed to us using the explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your, we thank you so much, Lord, that you have welcomed us into your presence this morning, Lord, that you have made us your people, that you have provided for us so bountifully, Lord, everything that we need for this life, but all that we need for an eternal life with you as well. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us. Help us, Lord, to live out this new life that you have given us in a way that brings glory to you. Help us, Lord, to carry out the mission that you have given us of witnessing, of caring for those who are in stress and in need. Lord, I pray that you would give us opportunity, give us courage, and convict our hearts, Lord, so that we will do the works that you have given us to do. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless the ministries of St. Mark's, Lord. The school is such an amazing place, Lord, where children can learn, but and not just learn about your world and about language and about mathematics and all that stuff, Lord, but that they would know you and deeply learn about what your will is for them, what you have done for them, how they are your precious children, and how they can look forward to a life with you and an eternity with you. Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless the teachers, bless all those who are involved in that school ministry, give them passion and focus and energy, Lord, so that they can continue to do the work that you've laid out in front of them. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with the youth and children ministry of St. Mark's as well. Same thing there, Lord, that you have given us all these young people that we can care for, people that we can disciple, people that we can love and teach about your love. Help us, Lord, to continue to do those ministries. And Lord, I pray that you would just continue to be with all of us, Lord, through the difficulties of life, through the stresses and struggles that we face. Lord, we pray that you would continue to hold us up, be our strength, be our rock, so that, Lord, you will be the one who will get us through every difficult time. And we can praise you, Lord, when we get through. Thank you, Lord, for all of these things. And we pray the prayer you've taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
You Jesus, you are my
Such a beautiful response to the gospel that we have received, especially in this meal, that our God has come to us in his body and blood. And through that body and blood, he promises to bring us faith, life, and salvation. And so as he has done this, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together. My friends, as we head out into the week, I just want to remind you of the Lenten services on Wednesday. We have the 11:30 service for people who don't want to drive at night. We have the 5:30 service for children and young families. We have the 6 o'clock potluck dinner, and then we have the 7 p.m. traditional service. And so that's what we're doing on Wednesday. And don't forget about the family meeting. It's going to be on April 23rd at 11 o'clock during the Bible study hour. And then one other announcement. If you have a middle schooler or know a middle schooler, please encourage them to join our middle school youth group. It's going to be led by Andrew Teuscher, right over there, middle school teacher, student of our school and youth ministry. He went through the whole thing with us all, and now he's back and serving. And so he wants to start a middle school youth group. They're going to be meeting in the gym lobby from 6:30 to 8 o'clock on Wednesday nights. And the evening will include a lesson and some quality fellowship time, which I'm guessing will include dodgeball at some point. Yeah, I figured that. How does it not? Excellent. My friends, it is wonderful to have seen you all this morning and wonderful to worship with you. God's blessings on your week, and I'll see you in the back. Also, we have an elder available in the prayer chapel after the service if anybody wishes individual prayer.